you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That was John 14, 6. And some of you may say, well, wait, that was the verse yesterday. Yep, but we didn't get to talk about it. So we're going to talk about this verse and why Dave Fitch, our special guest on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. In fact, if you were tuned in yesterday, we have him back today. There's so much more to say about his book. Why is this happening? A search for the truth. And we all know, or most of us know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In fact, he claims this. This is what he says in John 14, 6. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's Tuesday, June 18th, 2024, and as mentioned, Dave Fitch, our Director of Development, joins us in the studio again for day two of an interview on a book that he recently released called Why Is This Happening? And it's interesting. It's Why Is This Happening? With a question mark followed by an exclamation point. And you know how much I love those exclamation points, followed by a smiley face, but it's a search for the truth. And he's been working on this. It's been in his brain for many years as he's been seeking the Lord and praying how to share this dilemma. Why is there such sin? Why does it seem to be accelerated? Why does evil exist and seem to be taking over? Well, he's got ways of combating that, or realizing that you can invite Jesus to be a part of your day and your journey, and that churches can stand up and point out where we've erred, where we've fallen short, why this is happening, why we're allowing this to happen. So, Dave, we didn't get to talk about this verse, John 14, 6, but maybe by way of a little of your own life journey and testimony before we start into why you wrote this book. But why did you pick John 14, 6 of all the verses you could pick?
Yeah, Mark, this verse has really become important to me over time. It seems like the more I mature in my faith, the more important I recognize that we need to focus on the truth, that God's word is the truth. And in this verse, when Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. Maybe everybody doesn't do this, but I tended to focus on I am the way and I am the life. And I skipped over the fact that Jesus said, I am the truth, meaning he is the truth. The truth is the same as the nature of God. That's where we get truth. And there's so many examples in our culture where people think truth is relative nowadays. But in order to get the answers that I address in the book, we have to look back at where truth comes from. And Jesus said he is the truth. The character, the nature of God, and his word that he shares with us, that is the truth. There is no other truth. And anything that doesn't agree with God's nature and his word is by definition then not the truth. It's a lie. It varies from the truth. So the deeper I get into my faith, the more I realize how important that is to understand.
I know oftentimes during Easter time, it's raised up, but you think of Pilate and he's, what is the truth?
Right.
And Jesus is right in front of him. Jesus is the truth. So it's a profound question that many people ask. And that helped lead you into writing this book, Why Is It Happening? A Search for the Truth, because you want people to know the truth and the Lord Jesus Christ. So why did you write this book?
Well, Mark, in order to win any battle, we have to know that we're in a battle, and we have to understand our opponent. What was Paul talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 when he said, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. What war was Paul talking about, and what weapons was he talking about? He was talking about the spiritual battles that we face every day. unfortunately, most Americans are oblivious to the spiritual battles that we face every day. And if we are aware of them, we're completely untrained on how to fight them. I felt compelled to write Why Is This Happening to encourage everyone to think about what is causing all these dramatic changes in our culture. Once we realize there's a biblical root cause to all the seemingly cultural shifts, then we realize that the Christian church can have a big impact on changing the momentum. It's not the case that this is just the momentum of the culture and we can't affect it, that operates independently and out of our control. We don't have to feel like we're shooting a water pistol at an aircraft carrier. Once the church as a whole understands the root cause of what's happening and why, then we can be effective at changing that momentum.
And so then what did you find out when you got to the end of writing this book?
Well, quite honestly, I was shocked at the inevitable conclusion. It really opened my eyes. I've told some people I didn't actually set out to write a book. At first, I just had these thoughts that I felt God put on my heart, and I started writing them down. And it wasn't until about 3 years in writing those comments down that I realized, oh, this probably could be a book. So the book takes a look at all the dramatic changes that we're seeing in our society. The increase in crime, the economic turmoil, the increased polarization of society, the increasing anxiety, depression, and suicides, the effects of COVID, the decreasing trust in our government and institutions, and a myriad of other things. I could go on and on. And it looks for the root cause of all those. For virtually every issue we're dealing with in society, if you look at what caused each of those and the causes of those causes, you inevitably arrive at the root cause, and they all get back to a common root cause.
And what would that be?
Well, you've got to read the book. No, I'll share that.
Actually, I will say for our listeners, too, I was reading the original transcript that you submitted to me, and I shared this yesterday on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. You had the teaser. You kept me reading because you said, it's going to be explained a little more. I'll go into that in the next chapter. And then you would say a little more, and you would kind of season it a little, and then you entice me, okay, that's starting to be covered, but you'll understand it after reading this. And so it really has a great way to keep you engaged in reading it. And I'm going to mention this at the end of the program, but you can purchase copies of this new book. It's got this lovely blue and white, and it's a great cover. It's titled Why Is This Happening? A Search for the Truth by Dave Fitch. And you can pick up copies at defendingthefoundation.org, defendingthefoundation.org. As mentioned, I'll share this again at the end of the program, but what is some of these root causes and what would that be?
Well, as you mentioned about the book, Mark, I say in there, it's sort of like I'm painting a picture and I'm filling in pixels, and you can't really see the picture until I filled in all the pixels. So that's why I encourage everybody to kind of stick with it and until all the pixels are filled in. Anyway, every one of these issues eventually gets down to the perspective we have on God and whether he exists as he says he is. If God is as he says he is in the Bible, then he truly is in charge, and we're not. But in order to understand how this impacts all these issues in our culture, I believe we have to understand a concept from the Bible that very few people talk about today. That's the dichotomous nature presented throughout the Bible of the choice we are given to accept God as who he says he is or reject him as who he says he is. I've concluded something that I never hear pastors say, and that is that we need to accept the Bible in whole as the one and only truth or reject it in whole. It's like C.S. Lewis said, if Christianity is false, it is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it can't be is moderately important. But in today's society, that's the way we treat it, like it's a spice we can just add a little bit into our lives for better taste. The best way to understand this is to look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 in verses 13 and 14. These verses aren't taught anymore today because they aren't politically correct. They say, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. There are only two choices for all of humanity, the wide path or the narrow path. That dichotomous theme is repeated throughout Scripture. For example, the sheep and the goats. There are no lions and tigers and bears and dogs and cats.
Oh, my.
All headed in the same destination. There's only the choice to accept God as who he says he is or reject him as who he says he is. We need to accept the Bible in whole or reject it in whole. Understanding that and the clash of these two worldviews is at the core of understanding what's going on in our world. Those who hold to the worldview on the wide path, and especially the ones that are loud and proud in their rebellion against God, are the key drivers behind many of these radical changes. My book, Why Is This Happening?, explains the Bible's perspective on truth, evil, and discernment, and helps us apply that to our current culture. After reading this, we should be better able to interpret the signs of the times and to recognize in many ways that evil is quietly creeping into our lives and our families. We learn how to recognize our spiritual opponent, and that's an absolute necessity before we can defeat our spiritual opponent.
I've had a number of conversations recently about God's sovereignty. He's either sovereign or he isn't. And so
right.
I tell many people, nothing can happen outside of his permissive will. Now, again, he doesn't cause evil. He doesn't celebrate evil. But he's either sovereign or he's not. And so that's rooted strongly in my mind. God is sovereign. And we know God is good. And he's demonstrated that love by sending Jesus. So, yeah, I think as you talk about the truth and Jesus Christ being the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him, we know God loves us, that he's sovereign, he's in control, and he will order our steps as we submit and surrender and follow him. So listening friend, if you have some extra dollars or work overtime and get some additional income so you can buy multiple copies of this book, Why Is This Happening? A Search for the Truth. Joining me in the studio is Dave Fitch, and I should mention, he's our Director of Development, so he's working on donor relations and a bunch of different side projects. He's been employed since February of this year, and so I've gotten to know Dave, and he's worked on writing this book in his mind for many years, and recently it just got published, so I think this is one of your first radio interviews, though you've talked about the book at different Iron Sharpens Iron, and I've been with you in different settings where you got to hand people copies of your book. And I always like to joke, it's usually $50, but today it's only $18 because it's a special deal. But it's $18 and it's available to be purchased at defendingthefoundation.org, defendingthefoundation.org. Dave, yesterday you gave that football analogy that I think really helps people put things together.
I would agree with you, Mark. It seems like the light goes on for him once I give that analogy. And the analogy is, in today's world, if you're a young boy, say you're a 10-year-old boy playing JFL junior football, and you're the middle linebacker, you are taught at an early age how to line up and evaluate your opponent across the line of scrimmage and see how he's lined up. Does he have two tight ends in tight and he looks like he's going to run the ball, or does he have four wide receivers out wide and he looks more like he's going to throw the ball? You're taught to know your opponent, evaluate him across the line of scrimmage, see what his tendencies are, what he's likely to do. And then at the moment that ball is hiked, you're taught to read that first step that the quarterback takes. Is he stepping out to the side like he's going to roll out and hand the ball off for the running back to run around the end, or is he going straight back like he's going to look downfield and throw the ball? You're taught to instantly read your opponent and then automatically react based upon what you read in that first instant. Why aren't we doing that in the spiritual battle that we face every day? We don't even realize that we have an opponent. And so, you know, we're not taught to recognize the opponent and how to react or what to do to prevent that spiritual opponent's attack.
I wrote down really quickly about putting on that full armor of God, because that goes with some of that illustrations. Those football players have pads, they have certain techniques and tools, and like you said, they're looking at the opponent, they're evaluating things, and how we need to do that also in our spiritual walk.
Absolutely. We need to put on that spiritual armor because we actually have a battle that we go into every day. We actually have three choices in our lives. We can play in the game and contribute. We can watch the game from the sidelines, or we can be completely unaware that there's a game being played. Most of society is completely unaware that there's a spiritual battle going on, and many of the Christians are watching from the sidelines because we don't really understand the battle is taking place, because we'd have to have conversations that mention the pain, the hard work, the blood, the suffering, and the broken bones, using the football analogy. All that negative stuff is politically incorrect to mention, even in today's Christian churches. We're unaware that we face a spiritual battle every day. Is it any wonder that we're losing, and losing that battle badly? Our spiritual opponent is grinding it out, running over us, play after play, and we're picking ourselves up and saying, what the heck just happened? The church doesn't have a well-defined plan to stop our opponent, because for the most part, we haven't mentioned that we have an opponent. I challenge all the Christian pastors to preach like you have a game to win on Friday night, because you do, Friday night and every night. Now, I know this message doesn't make a lot of friends, but it does help us to find out who's willing to put on the pads and get in the game, study the opponent and learn his tendencies and how he attacks us, and coordinate the plan to stop the progress of our spiritual opponent and our culture, and to educate all the players throughout society on who set the rules of the game and what those rules, God's truth, are. Mark, I just finished reading a book called Miraculous Movements. I picked it up one day when I stopped by the studio, and I was waiting for you to get back to the studio, and started reading it, waiting for you to get back. And it was called Miraculous Movements. And what it was about was the incredible progress that Christians are making in converting Muslims in Africa to Christianity. And it talks about really all the miracles that those evangelists are seeing in today's world. They're seeing miracles of where, you know, Muslims are seeing visions of Jesus, or they're being healed, or having some other miraculous events, and that is going on in today's world. God is working in our world today and wants to see miracles in the United States too, and in our communities and in our lives today. In the U.S., we don't see as much of God because we've told him to stay out of our lives, out of our government, out of our entertainment, and out of our schools. Is it any wonder that people are seeing miraculous movements of God in Africa, in Iran, in China, but not much in the United States? We need to get desperate for God. We need to understand the battle that we're in and understand what's happening and why. Only then can we put the game plan together with all Christians, to stop the progress of our spiritual opponent. The book will be interesting to believers who want to better understand what they believe and why, and anyone else who wants to have a better grasp on what's happening and why, and also to anyone who has children or grandchildren who they want to protect and nurture to understand the world from God's perspective. It's also a great book to give to someone who might be curious about God or has some doubts about whether God and the Bible are relevant to them.
So I'm all set. In fact, I had the early transcript version, and then thank you, God, you gave me a first press publication, or I don't know if it's first press. I know once you got it hot off the press, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I have enjoyed reading it. And, you know, I'm a slow reader, but it was always about 6 pages at night for a number of weeks. And I'm glad that today and yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, you were able to talk about this book, Why Is This Happening? A Search for the Truth by Dave Fitch, F-I-T-C-H. But how can somebody purchase copies? Is there a website? Do they call you? They could certainly come by the WLUJ studios and pick one up, but always call first to make sure that we're here and available. 217-528-2300, 217-528-2300. But give us a website or a way for people to purchase copies.
Yeah, they can find the book on my website, defendingthefoundation.org. That's defendingthefoundation.org. There is follow-up material on the website for people who have read the book. I recommend that they read the book first and then go to the website to get the additional content. But they can go to defendingthefoundation.org and they can order the book there. And because I'm fulfilling it there, I'll be happy to autograph it and send it out. They can also find it on Amazon and, you know, Barnes & Noble and all the usual sites that where you can buy a book. But it's $18.95 if you get it from most of those sites.
And listening friend, you did hear him right say he'd autograph it. So say you want to give it to your grandson or grandchild or something, just write a note or when you order it, let him know exactly who you want it addressed to, right? So if they want to give it to
sure.
Aunt Matilda or Little Johnny, you know, you would put, hey, Little Johnny, your grandma loves you, and this is a good book, or however.
Yeah, they could email me at info@defendingthefoundation.org, and they can shoot me a quick email and just give me any additional detail that they want like that.
The book is titled, Why Is This Happening? With a question mark followed by an exclamation point, A Search for the Truth by Dave Fitch. I think you're going to really enjoy it. And Dave Fitch serves as our director of development, and he's had this book on his heart and mind for a number of years, and it just recently came out, and I wholeheartedly endorse it. I think you'll be blessed. You'll be encouraged. You're going to be challenged, and there's going to be points of conviction when you think, wow, I'm not doing that, or I'm not proclaiming God's truth. Or maybe you're a pastor and you think, you know, I've not addressed some of these topics of sin, or I've not been as bold as maybe God wants me to be. I hope that this will be a resource, a tool, maybe a catalyst for you to say, you know, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and I want to proclaim that clearly, and there is a truth, and people need to know about the truth, and this book might be a tool, a resource, as mentioned, that God will use to get you to be on the team and to advance His kingdom work in this hurting world. The book, Why Is This Happening? And you can purchase copies at defendingthefoundation.org, defendingthefoundation.org. Well, Dave, thank you for yesterday and today's time during the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Dave Fitch with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.